For many Americans, paying for college can seem as though it's getting further out of reach. And for many lower and middle income families, it is. Between rising tuition, room and board costs, books, and other fees, it seems only America's wealthiest families can afford to foot the bill. And now, more than ever, students are finding that financial aid and scholarships don't defray the cost enough. Our next guest joins us to talk about what the long-term effects would be if middle-class families are priced out of college. Sarah Goldrick-Rabb is a professor of higher education policy and sociology at Temple University. Sarah, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Sarah, you've talked about the new economics of college. Can you give us a summary of what that is?
Yeah, it's a whole new situation that people paying for college are facing. Not only are we at a time when college prices are at an all-time high, but we're also at a moment when families are struggling generally. You know, the rising price of college looks different when you're getting ahead from year to year. But when wages are stagnant and folks are worried about losing their homes, it's a different situation. It's also a different time where it's harder to get help. It used to be that if you needed to get food stamps, it was relatively straightforward to do so, and now we've got people who need them and can't get them. And then the other piece of this that really matters is that a lot of us do believe that working your way through college is a worthwhile thing to do, but it is harder than ever before to get a job that provides the hours and the schedule and the pay that you need so that you can work your way through school. So when you put all those things together, it really creates a perfect storm and shows you why the economics of college today is not the economics of yesterday.
So, Sarah, you've recently written about middle-class families being priced out of college. You wrote an article in the Biden Forum. Why did you want to look at this issue specifically?
You know, I wanted to write about it because I'm seeing it in the data that we've been collecting. For almost 20 years now, my team has been looking up close at what's happening to American college students. And we've started to really see that problems that historically seemed like they were only problems for what we call low-income students are now happening to middle-class families. And that's bearing out both in terms of what people are going through on their daily lives, but also what we can see in the data. So there's now new national data that shows us that, for example, when families do that FAFSA, you know, that horrible bureaucratic tragedy of a form, and they get through it, we can now see that middle-class families today have the results of a FAFSA and the price of college that looks like how poor families had it in 1990. So the data are telling us there's a problem, and yet when we talk about the price of college, we're acting like it's only affecting the poorest people.
Now, in your view, and you talked about the fact that it's affecting the middle class, so let's break this down a little bit. What happens if middle-class families get priced out of college altogether?
Well, I think there's two different kinds of things that can happen. I mean, one thing that middle-class families have that people in the working class don't necessarily have is prior college experience. So these folks, you know, they may already have experienced college and feel pretty bought in to the idea that, you know, their children are going to go. But where their children are going to go is going to change now. So when people are being priced out, for example, they may turn from sending their student to a place like, you know, UW-Whitewater and instead send them to one of the technical colleges. Now, that's not a bad thing. I am a big believer in the Wisconsin Technical College System and the UW colleges. But as we also know, sometimes it can, you know, be a longer route to get a degree, and sometimes people get deterred. But more importantly, it means that the preferences and choices made by many middle-class families may not be something that they can actually afford. On the upper end of the spectrum of the middle class, it may mean that, for example, you thought you were going to send your child to a private college, maybe an elite college of the kind that you see on television when people talk about what college is. And those name colleges are no longer affordable, and now you're going to have to send your student to a state school. Now, to be honest, I'm not going to really feel bad for you because it's still a really good education. But, again, it's going to leave people with a bad taste in their mouth. And I think these are the reasons, in many ways, why college has become the place that America loves to hate.
Sarah Goldrick-Rabb joins us. She is a professor of higher education policy and sociology at Temple University. And we're talking about making college affordable for the middle class. Now, financial aid is available to students all across the board for the most part. But how is it falling short of middle-class families?
Well, I mean, the first thing is that financial aid is not nearly as available, actually, as a lot of colleges want you to believe. They'll tell you that, for example, they offer free tuition below a certain income, but not tell you that all of the other costs, the fees, the books, the supplies, the room, the board, all that other stuff is not covered. They will also restrict the aid to people who meet a certain income or, quote-unquote, need threshold. And those need thresholds are determined using some pretty bad data. So a family, for example, that makes, let's say, $200,000 a year, but who's underwater when it comes to their house and who has student debt and who's taking care of a parent who's in a nursing home may have a very hard time making ends meet. But we have decided, as a country, that we really don't care to support them with financial aid. Now, maybe that's the right choice, maybe it's not, but the fact is that the family's going to struggle. They might even struggle to send their student to a public institution. But, I mean, the other thing is there are families who make $55,000 a year, and they may be too rich, quote-unquote, to get a federal Pell Grant, but they're certainly too poor to afford today's college prices.
So what's happening among colleges and universities that's pricing middle-class families out of higher education?
The number one thing that is happening in the public sector, which is where 3 in 4 students in this country go to college, and that is that the states have changed the deal they made with families. So in the past, for every tuition dollar that there was as an expense, the state covered the vast majority of that cost, leaving the family to cover only a minority of it. Now, on a per-student basis, states have pulled back. Wisconsin has been one of those states. So has Pennsylvania, where I live now. We're one of the worst in the entire country when it comes to affordability because the state simply is not putting in money to help offset the price for the students. As a result, colleges have to charge more tuition. Now, you could argue colleges should just learn how to offer less to these students and do it cheaper. That is a hard case to make at a time when we have opened our doors to more people coming to college who come from less advantaged backgrounds. So as more people come to college whose parents didn't go to college, they need more advising and more support and more tutoring. The country needs them to go to college because economically we know we're better off for it. But to ask a college to support that student the same way they supported a wealthy student of the past, that's not realistic.
Now, Sarah, some have said that we have to come to this realization that college isn't for everybody and that back in the day, a college education was seen for years as a ticket to the middle class. Is that true?
I actually think the realization we need to come to is that we as a country don't understand what college is. I think that too many people are saying that when they say the word college, they think philosophy degree, they think women's studies degree, they think graduate degree. They need to think HVAC technician. They need to think truck driver training. They need to think certified nursing assistant. You can't do those jobs without a certificate or an associate degree. College is the place where you get it. So if we want to have people who are not certified working to fix parts of our houses, if we want to have people who are not certified providing us medical care, then by all means tell people that we don't need college. But what we need to do is realize that even our universities are providing the very necessary training that is important for all sorts of jobs. We also need to recognize that this is not just about training. We also need to recognize that people are healthier, they live better lives, they are more effective at raising healthy and happy children when they've been able to spend time in the classroom learning how to negotiate and navigate this complicated world that we live in. They are more likely to vote. And so I think we know quite well what it means to tell people that not everyone should go to college. It means college is for my children, but not for yours.
So what are some actionable steps that can help bring down the cost of college for a majority of American students?
There are a bunch of different things we can do. And frankly, I do want to note that we're making progress. There are some Band-Aids even that have been put into place that are helpful. I really appreciated when Governor Scott Walker put an emergency aid program into place to support the technical colleges because we knew that that need was there. It was a step in the right direction. We can do things to lower the price of food. We can do things to make textbooks more affordable. We can do things to make campus housing more affordable. There are a bunch of pieces of federal legislation pending on all of those fronts. Of course, we can also restore the funding to public higher education so that families don't have to make these impossible choices about whether or not their children can go to college. Doing so, it has been shown, creates an enormous return on investment so that the taxpayers are not spending money that doesn't come back to them. It's actually cheaper for everybody in the long run, as those people will be less likely to need public support from public benefits, more likely to pay taxes, and more likely to be good contributing members of society.
Sarah, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah Goldrick-Rabb is a professor of higher education policy and sociology at Temple University. She joined us today to talk about why college is becoming less affordable for middle-class families and why accessibility to higher education is important.